Welcome to the 52nd edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
Wait a minute. I'm Joe, and did you say 52?
52.
Oh, my goodness.
Our 52nd show.
And we haven't killed each other yet.
We haven't.
Oh, this is wonderful.
So there's 52 weeks in a year.
Celebrate good times.
We've been doing this for almost two years.
We're consistent.
We are, sort of. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
But thank you, everyone, for listening to us for a week of Sundays.
We really appreciate the fact that you guys have liked us, and thank you very much.
Yeah. So.
Needle and thread.
Come on down.
They're laughing at us again.
Why? We didn't even tell a joke yet, and they're laughing at us.
I like it. This is the start of a good show.
Okay. So.
Needle and thread.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You said to sew, and I said, well, you need a needle and thread.
Oh. So I have a trivia question of the day.
So we're going to sew it together. I like it. Look at it.
This is from Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.com.
What was the 1960s TV show 21 about?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I have a joke of a hint for you.
Joke of a hint.
Yes, this is from Daniel Tosh of Tosh.0.
Tosh.0.
Yes. I'd like a game show with millionaires on it, and they have to play with their own money, and they can't win money. They can only lose till one of them goes completely broke. And the show's called Ha Ha, Now You're Poor.
Oh, they already have that.
Do they?
Las Vegas.
Oh.
It's called the whale section.
Oh.
No, it's really called the whales. Rich people who go and play and have lots of money, they call them whales. And then they come in and they have their high dollar value area, and they go in there, play Baccarat for hours on end and lose lots of money. And they get comps because they have nowhere else to spend money because they don't have any more money because they gave it to the casino. So they get the free rooms.
Oh, okay.
But that's funny.
Well, the theme for today is not Las Vegas.
Whales.
No, it's not whales either. It is.
Well, you know, this is kind of an easy one today because you did say, I would like a game show. So I'm going to go with game show.
There you go. TV game shows.
Sam, I'm just showing off now.
It's going to be a long show.
It is our 52nd time.
Yes, it is.
Ta-da!
So our curious saying or word for the day is MC.
MC.
Which is spelled E-M-C-E-E.
And this is from Wikipedia. No, you're supposed to correct me and say Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Waka, waka, waka. Anyways, a master of ceremonies, also used in its abbreviation form MC or MC, is the official host of a staged event or similar production or performance. An MC usually presents performers, speaks to the audience, and generally keeps the event moving. An MC may also tell jokes or anecdotes. The MC sometimes also acts as the protocol officer during an official state function.
In hip-hop, rock, and electronic dance music, an MC, otherwise known as a rapper, is a music artist and or performer who usually creates and performs vocals for his or her own material. The term originates from the Catholic Church. The master of ceremonies is an official of the papal court, responsible for the proper and smooth conduct of the elegant and elaborate rituals involving the Pope and the sacred liturgy. He may also be an official involved in the proper conduct of protocols and ceremonials involving the Roman pontiff, the papal court, and other dignitaries and potentates.
That was easy for you to say.
Yeah.
Good thing I didn't have to read that.
What do you know? I have a top 10 list.
And this has how many today?
10? No, 9.
Oh, we're back to normal. A top 10 list that doesn't have top 10 items.
Yeah, so
I like
okay.
it. So from CBS.com, The Letterman Show. All right.
The top 9 shows on Heaven's Game Show Network. Heaven's Game Show Network.
So number 9. So you think you're an atheist.
Number 8. What's My Sin?
Number 7. Win Ben Stein's Immortal Soul.
Number 6. Sail of Eternity.
Yeah. Number 5, Deal, or Better Deal.
Number 4, The Pious is Right.
Number 3, No, Survivor.
Number two, are you smarter than St. Peter?
Oh. And the number one show on Heaven's Game Show Network?
The Newly Dead Game. Oh, Dave's laughing. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Dumb Criminals. Dumbcriminals.com. Now, make yourself at home. This week's drunk driver crashes into a home, then does something stupid story comes from the lovely Duluth, Minnesota area.
So what did our Otis the Drunk of the Week do this week?
I don't know. Pray tell.
Did he crash into the house and leave the car for an unsuspecting family of four to find it? Nope.
Mm.
Did he crash into one side of the house, then through the other while the owner was watching the hockey game in his underwear?
Ooh.
I wish. Did he crash into the house and then go ice fishing? I'm sure that happens every day in Duluth.
Nah, this guy crashed into the bedroom of the house, got out of his car, crashed on the bed where the homeowner found him watching a TV game show.
That's a surprise.
Honey, I'm home.
Yeah.
Snore.
Just moved the garage, that's all, right?
Yeah, you know, new entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Just jokes time.
Yay.
From jokebuddha.com. A man was on a game show. He was on his final question, and all he had to do was answer the question right, and he would win $1 million.
And the game show host said, "All right, for your final question, what are the names of three of Santa's reindeer?"
The man grinned and said, "Dasher."
The game show host said, "Correct."
"Comet."
"Correct. What is the last name?"
And the man yelled, "Olive."
The game show host was confused and said, "Why Olive?"
The contestant laughed at him strangely and said, "Oh, don't you know? Olive, the other reindeer, used to laugh and call him names." We're going to sled off on this one.
Yes. Uh-huh. Bob couldn't believe it. He'd made it to the last round of his favorite game show.
"Congratulations, Bob," said the MC. "Answer correctly, and you can go home with $5 million. This is a two-part question on American history," he continued. "The second half of the question is always easier. Which part would you like first?"
Well, Bob figured he'd play it safe and said, "I think I'll try the second part of the question first."
The MC nodded approvingly while the audience was silent with anticipation. "Okay, Bob, here is your question. And what year did it happen?"
Oh, that's not all that funny. That's kind of sad.
No, that's kind of funny. Nice trap.
Why did the quiz show give away $10,000 plus one banana?
Do I have to say this?
Yes, you do.
They wanted the prize to have appeal. We've got a grizzly bear in the studio.
I know.
We've got a groan on that one.
At the recording of a television game show, an Army major was in the hot seat for the last big question. The host read the question slowly and carefully. But to his dismay, the major did not know the answer.
However, the major was not prepared to miss out on the chance of winning a fortune, so he put his contingency plan into operation. He let out a sudden cough, and from the back of the stage, four mounted knights in armor appeared, waving their lances threateningly at the host.
The host looked momentarily terrified, but then a steely determination set in as he refused to allow the major to cheat his way into the big cash prize.
Suddenly, the host leaped into the air and karate kicked the first knight onto the floor. He picked up the lance from the stricken knight and fought off the second, who also fell sprawling to the floor.
The second knight's horse shield shot. The second knight's horse shied and bolted, colliding with the third knight in the process.
The game show host was just beginning to enjoy himself. Now, he waved the spear he was still carrying at the fourth knight, looking back at the contestant, and he said,
"Is that your final lancer?" Oh, no. Now we got eyes rolling. I like that,
that
one.
That was funny.
I like that one a lot.
I do. Dumbest game show contestant answers.
And these are true.
And folks, this is standby.
You can't write stuff this funny.
No.
This is from The Weakest Link. Remember that show?
The Weakest? No, I don't, actually.
Oh, well, I'm not going to explain it to you.
Okay.
Ann Robinson says, which Indian leader, whose last name began with G, took the title Mahatma?
Contestant, Geronimo.
From Family Fortunes with Les Dennis, name a bird with a long neck.
Naomi Campbell.
From the same show, name a type of fork not used for eating.
Guy Fawkes.
Name an occupation where you might need a torch.
A burglar.
Ouch. Where is the Taj Mahal?
Opposite the dental hospital.
These are true, folks. What is Hitler's first name?
I'm sorry. Set it up again.
What is Hitler's first name?
Heil.
Oh, my goodness.
That's good.
Name some famous brothers.
Bonnie and Clyde.
A famous royal.
Male.
A sign of the zodiac.
Of course, everybody knows it's April.
Something you do before you go to bed.
Sleep.
This one I love. Something you put on walls.
A roof.
Something slippery.
A con man.
And a kind of ache.
A fillet of fish. You can't write.
You can't write this stuff. Oh, and from Chris Searle from BBC Bristol, Chris asks, in which European country is Mount Etna?
Japan.
Well, in case you did not hear me say European, I can let you try again.
Mexico.
No. From University Challenge, Bamber Gascone asked, what was Gandhi's first name?
Goosey? Goosey?
Goosey, Goosey, Gandhi. From The Weakest Link again, Ann Robinson asked, what insect is commonly found hovering above lakes?
Crocodiles.
From National Lottery Jet Set, that's an English game.
Okay.
Emin Holmes asked, what's the name of the playwright commonly known by the initials GBS?
William Shakespeare.
And from BB Radio Newcastle, Paul Wappet asked, how long did the Six-Day War between Egypt and Israel last?
14 days.
Six-Day War.
Six-Day War.
From the Phil Wood Show on the local BBC Radio, what K could be described as the Islamic Bible? It's got two syllables.
Blimey.
No. The past participle of run. Okay, try it another way. Today I run, yesterday I...
walked.
Oh. Well, everyone, strap on your seatbelt because this one's going to be a bumpy ride. I found the weekly rant from crack.com.
Ooh.
Insane game shows you won't believe were allowed on TV. These are actual game shows.
And they allowed them on TV.
And they did.
In general, we have zero expectations about the quality of television programming. This goes double for game shows, competitive reality shows, which occasionally celebrate human ingenuity, but are mostly about watching terrible people endure some kind of pain or humiliation.
Yet, as low as those expectations are, there have been multiple shows over the decades that have managed to go even lower. Here are the ones that deserve to occupy that special place in the television history. Spoiler alert, this special place is a dumpster fire.
Uh-oh. The singing competition where you win a kidney transplant.
Yes, American television is currently inundated with amateur talent competitions, so clearly it's time to up the stakes. Running Man style. You know, like they do in Central and South America, where American Idol type shows aren't just about a contestant's talents, or lack thereof, but about real soul-crushing human tragedy. If a particular contestant on one of the shows doesn't win, people could die.
Cantando por un sueño, singing for a dream, and its sister show, Bailando por un sueño, dancing for a dream, are hugely popular programs in Mexico and South America. Their setup should be familiar with American audience. Some randomly nobody performs and is judged by celebrities and whether or not they suck. And like Dancing with the Stars, and the contestants of Cantando and Bailando are paired up with even more celebrities. But here's the catch. The show's winner doesn't receive a record deal or a Vegas booking. No. Any cash payout serves as an intervention designed to save the contestant from some heart-wrenching personal calamity, such as losing their business or missing out on an organ transplant. That last bit isn't a hyperbole. Here's a woman singing in order to get a kidney transplant for her kids. The judges buzz the heck out of her, by the way. Wow.
Wait, there's more.
Dun, 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 dun.
The routines on Bailando supplement boring old modern dance and tango with stripping and pole dancing, as audiences apparently relish the surprise interspersed between crushed contestants' crying fits.
Tonight on Bailando, tears of sorrow will pour out of your left eye while tears of joy will stream from your right.
Sure, one lucky winner per season has his or her dream fulfilled. Meanwhile, the final episodes of Bailando feature elimination ceremonies during which the losing dancers snuff out candles that presumably represent their hopes for a better life. Sorry, kids, but Mom should have danced harder.
Pole dancing.
Oh, hi. Oh, and the next one is...
The quiz show about watching couples from a windowless van.
The 1970s were heady times for the game show genre. Boundaries were being tested, and shows were playing it loose. Booze made guest appearances on Match Game, William Shatner was throwing chairs on the $20,000 pyramid, and a serial killer took first place on the dating game. So, if that's the stuff that was going on in the top-tier network shows, what would it take to make a network hurriedly pull the plug on one?
Now, to answer that question, let's look at CBS's The Amateur Guide to Love, which debuted on March 27, 1972, and lasted all of 3 months. Almost all the episodes were believed to have been destroyed, possibly after a 12-step program and a moment of clarity on the part of the producers.
When asked about surviving episodes, producers said, "We have top men working on it now." Top men.
In each episode, an olive green cargo van with love post-it tapped on the sides cruised about California, Southern California, secretly filming young couples making out. The unwitting participants were then messed with candid camera style, after which they were approached by a film crew. The crew would then ask a couple toddy questions regarding love, marriage, and sex, and the response were judged by a celebrity panel. The couple that chose the best answers, according to the judges, were awarded a prize.
With the advantage of hindsight, we might wonder why these couples didn't immediately start running when presented with what is clearly a rape van.
Yeah.
Yes, this was several years before cargo vans became synonymous with serial killers in the state of California. But never since the invention of the camera has secretly filming people necking not raised flags. On the plus side, The Amateur's Guide to Love did boast numerous guest appearances by renowned sexpert Vincent Price.
No.
Yeah, this one's worse.
Oh, and I have to read this.
Yes.
This is called The Vomiting Competition.
Hurl was most likely a concept born of Bartles and James induced mania late one night in a college dorm room, where a future television producer, tasked with holding back her drunk friend's air, genuflected before the porcelain god and thought, "Why can't I delight in this scene every night?"
This hypothetical vomit-obsessed whiz kid was probably hired by the illustrious G4 network in 2008 to create Hurl. The one reason the show paired pounds of this one show season paired pounds of food with intense obstacles and exercise to make the contestants throw up as fast as humanly possible. Featured edibles include cream of spinach, macaroni and cheese, clam chowder, and creamed corn. In other words, foods that already resembled vomit.
The rules of the game were simple. Take five contestants with no shame and subject them to merciless binging and purging. In the first round, the three contestants who hork down the most food by weight, love that word, hork.
Hork.
are selected to move forward. Next, it's on to the regurgitation round, with obstacles like spinning carnival rides and 15 laps in a swimming pool. Then it's back to speed eating, and the rounds keep coming. Whoever vomits last wins $1,000. That's not nearly enough.
No.
And the Iron Stomach Award. And luckily for the show's contestants, a hurl was only counted if the upchuck actually breached your mouth, so you were still in if you swallowed.
Incredibly enough, Hurl failed to deliver on his promise to puke geysers. Yes, a show dedicated to the singular goal, or the singular goal of making people throw up on camera, censored out the barf when computer-generated columns of basket, the buckets.
Oh my gosh!
No, wait a minute. I can answer this. It was a copy of a real. This really happened in life.
I know this is a real game show.
No, they copied it from the military.
Oh.
Because the military used to have something called happy hour.
Uh-huh.
Where you were sent when you did something wrong, and they made you exercise until you puked.
Happy hour?
It was called happy hour.
Oh, my.
Anybody that's been to boot camp will remember happy hour.
Oh,
it was
yuck.
Not a pleasant place.
It sounds awful.
Yep.
And next we have the 1950s quiz show about crushing poverty and product placement.
In the 1950s, television was still a new medium, but watching human suffering was already a well-established pastime. Strike It Rich began as a radio show on the CBS in 1947 and did well enough to make a successful jump to the small screen in 1951. Ostensibly a quiz show, the questions weren't particularly hard. That didn't matter, as the real draw was the contestants themselves. They were selected because their lives were an impoverished disaster.
Oof.
Like folks on Cantino and Belendo, Por di Oceano, boy, I just botched that up. The contestants on Strike It Rich were flat broke and needed quick cash for medical crisis. Only those with the most heart-strung, tugging tales of woe made it to the producer's cut.
The target audience, bored housewives, ate this stuff up and made the show's sponsors bundles thanks to the graceless in-show advertisements.
Mm.
The combination made for some surreal moments. One television historian notes, this juxtaposition provides some astounding sights, such as a single mother answering quiz questions to earn money needed to keep custody of her child, followed by a glamorous model cheerily plugging underarm deodorant.
Nowadays, Strike It Rich is considered one of the worst television series ever produced, and the expletive nature didn't escape the audience of its era. Heck, in one episode of The Honeymooners, Ed Norton disparages his mother-in-law by disparaging his mother-in-law by describing her as a so mean she strike it rich for laughs.
Try that again.
So mean she watches strike it rich for laughs.
Yeah, it offended a guy whose best friend's hobby was threatening to punch his wife.
The Gorgon Show about how stupid women are.
Yep, as tasteless and downright offensive as some of the shows on this list are, we only know of one that resulted in an actual protest. Like crowds with signs and stuff, in front of the Maker studio. That show comes from Georgia, the country between Europe and Asia, not the American state.
In the spring of 2012, the Georgian television producer Imadi TV unveiled the quiz show Women's Logic. Hands down the most famous game show ever to come out of the Caucasus Mountains region. Its premise, models invited to the show and asking a variety of questions. Meanwhile, teams of men are awarded points for guessing exactly how the beauties will answer each question incorrectly.
We're going to take a wild guess that feminist issues isn't a category. See, that's why they call it women's logic. The show isn't about getting the right answers. It's about logical, smart males trying to guess the mental workings of those stupid, shallow, vapid humans known as women. They could easily have gotten the same funny moments by just featuring stupid people of both sexes. You could call it idiot logic or something. But no, that wouldn't make the point that they were looking for, i.e. men good, women bad.
The creators of Women's Logic must have tittered when the show debated. We're trash-talking half of the planet's population like a bunch of sexist idiots. There's absolutely no way this show can blow up in our faces. Just imagine her doe-eyed dismayed when it did, and on an international scale.
So how long did this one last before somebody canceled it out of sheer embarrassment? Actually, it was still on the air the last time we checked.
Oh.
That is so sad.
That's bad.
Very bad. So, I have a top 10 list. I'm just moving quickly away from that one. Did you notice?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many wonderful jokes we can tell there, but we're not.
No, and this is from top5.com.
So we have a top 10 list from top 5.
With 9.
Yes, we're back to normal. No tens on tens. I love it. Rodney Alcala, a convicted serial killer whose photos of women who may have been among his victims recently surfaced, was a contestant on the dating game in 1978. Chills. Talk about the parting gifts.
So these are the top 9 signs a game show contestant is a serial killer.
The top 9 signs a game show contestant is a serial killer.
Yes.
Number 9, one biggest loser suspiciously gains weight while the other contestants disappear one by one.
Oh.
Yuck.
Number 8, Howie, before the banker makes me an offer, remind him I know where he lives.
Number 7, I'll take Whoopi in the center square for the kill.
Number 6, he asks Pat if he can buy a disembowel. He's terrible.
Number 5, he sweeps both the potential poisonabilities and the dismembership requirement categories.
Oh my. 4, well, here's a first. At least now you're aliver than a fifth grader.
Oh. What did you expect from feuding with the Dahmers and the Bundys?
Oh, moving on. 2, he just used Drew Carey's liver as a Plinko chip.
And the number 1 sign a game show contestant is a serial killer?
He wins individual immunity by offering to lead police to the bodies. We got a couple ruminations.
Oh, that's just wrong to think about.
Yeah, I just we're skipping over the laps on that one.
I'm sorry, folks.
Ruminate.com.
From ruminations. Okay. I don't mind my wife butting in and finishing my sentence, but I wish she'd lose that Jeopardy buzzer.
It's from Jerry L. Embry. So we're going to play a game.
Okay.
This is the Irish Blessings game that we have screwed up every time we've tried. So I'm going to say the first part of the Irish Blessing, and you're going to add a line, and I'm going to add a line, and you're going to add a line until we finally shut up.
Mm-hmm.
So, may you always have the answers in the game show of life. Do, 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 do.
May your jeopardies always be succinct.
May you win the prize behind the door to heaven.
When choosing a curtain, always choose number 1.
And 2. May all of your final answers
be
lead
right.
You to the road to heaven.
To happiness.
Okay, never mind. That's all we have for today. I'm Kat.
And I'm Joe.
And together we're...
Contestant number 1.
No, together we're... Cat Soup. The best of internet humor on the radio.
Folks, have a great week.
Happy number 52, everybody.
Yay!